Hi everyone, it's Margot. I hope you're doing well. Today's episode is an interview with the artist Salt and Paper. If you watch some K-dramas, I'm pretty sure that you know him because he worked on several K-dramas OST, such as, for example, Cheese in the Trap or Chicago Typewriter and many more. So today I'm back for a very interesting interview. And just in case, the interview is divided in two parts. And right now you are listening to the first part, where we talked about his career and we also talked about the K-drama OSTs that he worked on. Before we get started, if you want to know more about Salt and Paper, I will leave his Spotify, YouTube channel, and social media in the description box below, so don't forget to check it out. I got so much value from this interview, and I hope that you will like it as well. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the introduction. So without further ado, let's get started with the interview. So first of all, I will let you maybe introduce yourself for the one who just discovered you.
Sure. Hi, my name is Mike, or aka M-Y-K. Or AKA Salt and Paper, and I make music.
Yeah, actually, I've been following you for a while because you are behind some of my favorite OSTs ever, such as, I'm not spoiling it yet for the interview, but Chicago Typewriter, one of my favorite OSTs so far. So I'm happy to have you here. So thank you for accepting the invitation.
Thank you for having me.
So maybe we can start with the introduction for the one who just discovered you. So you just introduced you. So I will ask some quick questions so that we can learn a bit more about you. So for the one who maybe just discovered you today, you are a musician. You have worked behind some famous K-dramas OSTs, and you also have your own songs as well. You worked with Hepikai in the past.
Yeah. Yes.
And I've read in an interview that you were born in the US, right?
Yes.
Yes. And you decided to pursue music when you were like 18 or something in Korea?
Yeah, that's about maybe like 21.
Yeah. So can you tell us maybe why you decided to pursue music in Korea?
That's a funny story because I didn't necessarily make the conscious decision to pursue music professionally, but I think I got really lucky as far as the Korea side of things, because I happened to go there during the time of that age when I was trying to find a way to continue to do music. Obviously, I was doing music throughout my teenage years and up until that age, but I wanted to continue to do it. And so I ended up going to Korea, actually unrelated to music, but I had like an internship at this clothing brand company in Korea. And I went there for that, and also just for the experience to live there for a while and get out of the city I was in and the stuff that I was doing. And then little by little, I started to realize that there were many opportunities, I guess, communities, musical communities that I could sort of contribute to. And then eventually, you mentioned Hepikai, and pretty much that's like everything as far as how this whole thing started. So one thing led to another, and I got a chance to meet a tableau from Hepikai, and he sort of, the rest was history, but he sort of opened up the door for me, I guess. Yeah, but I never was able, like I wasn't that, I guess, organized enough at that age to come up with a strategy and a plan. I wish I was, because maybe I would have, have done bigger and better things. But like everything else for me just kind of, happened with a lot of luck and, yeah, to my surprise, I guess. So I just sort of followed along with the things that would naturally start to occur. But yeah, long story short, I ended up in Korea at that age, and everything just sort of happened for me, luckily, thankfully.
And in general, how did everything started for you, like for music? Why did you pursue music? Is it something that you were interested in when you were a child or something that came later?
For me, I was one of those kids that, music was like my obsession, was the only sort of, interesting thing or fun thing or a thing that I wanted to pursue or play. I always was singing and, you know, collecting, you know, tapes and CDs, and I was always glued to the TV watching music videos and stuff like that. And then eventually I grew older and would start making songs with friends at home and copying bands I liked. So music was always there. I wasn't really interested in anything else for some reason. It was probably, you know, from my parents or just the way that, you know, they had so much music in the house, or they had Korean music in the house and, you know, like Korean sing a lot. You know, we do a lot of karaoke and, you know, we call it norebang. There's always parties and singing. So, yeah, I never gravitated towards the things that the typical kids in my classes and stuff, you know, I was never really good at or interested in other things than music. So yeah, it was just the thing. Yeah.
Do you have any inspiration or artist that you like or that you used to listen when you were a child or young or maybe a teenager that maybe inspired you or had a great impact on your view on music maybe?
Well, there's a bunch. There's a lot. I'm not sure if I remember everything because it gets to be a lot, but I guess the most relevant ones would probably be, you know, just the fact that I was growing up in the 90s. You know, I was mm-hmm. listening to music in the 90s, watching MTV in the 90s. So it was all the popular bands. I was really into the whole scene of, you know, grunge bands, alternative bands. And the ones that would always stand out would always take you back to their influences. And somehow, you know, the boring answer, but the true answer is it always goes back to the Beatles for some reason. So in one way or another, I feel like that we're all trying to emulate like what the Beatles were doing. So, but for me, I learned that more through bands that were influenced by the Beatles. So I think of like Nirvana or Oasis, those types of bands that you can clearly hear Beatles influences. So yeah, later on, I guess I realized that like those really like powerful like ways of songwriting and sort of tricks in music were sort of already set back then, and then we're just still learning and relearning and recreating those foundations. So I guess I would say, yeah, those bands come to mind. And then hip hop as well was big, obviously, in the 90s and so forth in the 2000s. But when I wanted to start making or, you know, start writing and, you know, start trying to do hip hop was when I found certain like independent hip hop groups or movements or artists. You know, Souls of Mischief is one that comes to mind, and that they would, the topics and things that they would you know, use in their music was very different from the type of rap or hip hop you would hear on the radio or see on TV, like commercials, things like things that I felt like, you know, I could, you know, also contribute to or do. And that mm-hmm. also made me want to make hip hop as well. And actually, that I guess when I started to try to actually make my own music seriously, I think I was more driven for whatever reason, for at that point in time, that age, by the idea of, you know, making hip hop music. So there's always that, which is sort of a base for me, I guess.
I guess that you are working as well, or are you only working on your music, or are you like trying to manage both music and maybe your another work or something?
I guess you could call it work. It's pretty much my family life. I'm a part-time dad and a part-time musician, and those things pretty much, there's not much time for anything else other than those two.
Is it hard to balance both?
It is hard to especially because my wife recently, like about 2 years ago, just had our third child, our third son. So the last, you know, those years are, you know, difficult to to do work and music and art and things like that at the same time. But you find your way. There's always time though. There's always, you know, you don't need like complete open schedules, to do things. I found, but just now I'm starting to find a good balance and get the hang of actually like really doing both, equally. Naturally it ends up always going, you know, to family first, but
And apart from that, do you have any hobby that you do in your spare time, maybe, or any maybe skill that you would like to learn?
You know, I always have had skills I'd like to learn, but I'm really bad at learning new things. And also just the idea of learning new things, for some reason, it's very unnatural and intimidating to me sometimes. But I guess I will always have those things that I want to do, and then I'll just sort of like settle for a way of not actually doing it the proper way, but doing it some way. So like I could think of, I always wanted to like learn how to, you know, edit film or make YouTube videos or music videos, and, you know, like learn the ins and outs and everything like that, and be really good at it. But I'll never get to that stage, but I'll always figure out a way what I want to do, but it, you know, kind of like in a half-assed way. And then I'll just settle for that. Like, I'll just use an iPhone or, you know, use some videos that I had and put them together. But, oh, well, you know, that's good enough. Or I'm always interested in visual arts as well. But I would never get to the point of developing skill and, you know, getting deep into it. But if I have a couple of, you know, markers and stuff, then, you know, I can draw something relatively satisfying to me. And then I'll just kind of, okay, that's settle for that. So I found that there's nothing other than music that I could really get into deeply. So it always comes back to music. I guess I could say that hobbies that I have would be things that somehow strengthen or like nurture the ability to have a good space for making music, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to just do really boring things. You know, I like to just get out, just walk, or, you know, go grocery shopping, or, you know, something. I really like going to the Korean spa. I don't know if that's a hobby, but
Korean spa, like Jjimjirbang?
Jjimjirbang, yes, Jjimjirbang.
But is there any in LA?
There are, yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
It's not as, you know, top notch as Korea, but
okay.
Something that is extremely satisfying and makes me very happy. But again, like when I do those things, though, it's always like, okay, I can step away from music or thinking about writing and then do that in order to sort of, you know, bring you back and calm you down. And then after doing things like that, I'm just in like a very fresh state of mind, which is really, yeah, that's very satisfying, I guess.
So you always go back to music no matter what?
Yeah, it's always like that's just the main hobby, you know, like there's, and whether it's, because there's many things that you could be doing. You could be, you know, digging around for music, new music to discover, new artists to discover. You could be just listening to your favorite songs, or you could be, you know, singing, writing, playing, practicing, or you can just be, you know, saving little ideas and compiling your musical notes and things. And, you know, it just goes on and on. You can read on your favorite artists or watch, you know, films about them. And so I think that I don't have much else that you know, really gives me that sort of thrill as much as anything revolving around music and music making specifically.
I agree because I used to personally like to do a lot of things, but then I realized that I can't do so many things and I have to prioritize certain thing in my life because I tend to like to do a lot of things. And recently I was like, no, I can't do that because if I start to pick up on several obvious stuff, I won't be able to be good at one thing. So I had to choose one or two things that I have to focus on entirely. So I kind of understand what you're saying, actually.
Yeah. How about you? How did you get started hosting this podcast on Korean dramas?
Because I discovered like K-dramas and Korean culture when I was 18 or so. And I was at uni and it was during the pandemic. So I decided to take a break because it was not a very fun experience. And then I don't know if you know him, but there is a famous public figure, I would say, that is Gary Vee.
Oh yeah, I do. Yes, yes.
And he said one time, like, people tend to like go to their 9-to-5 job and just trying to escape to this sad reality through their passion. And he said, why not just going through your passion and just live from your passion? And then I don't know why I started to think about K-dramas and podcasts. It's been 3 years that I've been working on it and I can't do anything else. Every time I try to do something else, I just always go back to it.
Yeah. And I'm sure it takes a lot of time as far as like the filming and the editing. And then you think about like, you'd rather be getting that done than doing something else.
So I kind of understand what you're saying actually with music.
Yeah.
Last question for the introduction part, maybe for the one who just discovered you. Can you tell us, how would you describe or maybe define your music? It's a hard question, I know.
It is, but the simple, I guess, answer is that it's really just the mixture of all the things that I like. It's just a little, the little, you know, pieces that I borrow and steal and try to emulate and then put them all together. And then, also mixed with, the types of moods and emotions that are going on at that point in time. And then the outcome is a lot of times a surprise. It's kind of like a random result.
Mm.
But I guess as far as genre or style-wise, I guess it's really just pop at the end of the day. You know, it's pop. Like we were talking about, a lot of the 90s influences is there naturally. A lot of the vocalists I look up to, like they have certain, you know, tones or voicings that they do that I definitely try to emulate, you know, whether it's intentional or not. And then I guess after all these years of making songs and collaborations and albums and things, I guess somehow I wound up with this vibe that is kind of mellow.
Mm-hmm.
And that also goes hand in hand with I think with the connections between the OSTs and the dramas that eventually later down the road came along for me. And so I've gotten some feedback that it has a bit of a chillness or like a calm effect, which I like. So I guess that kind of sums it up a little bit.
Actually, it's a great transition to the part of K-dramas OST.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that because personally, I watch quite a lot of dramas and I've always wondered how K-dramas OSTs are made because it's always something that I pay attention to every time I watch a drama. The first thing I pay attention is the OST. So I would like to know for your part, because you worked on a lot of K-dramas actually. Can you tell us a bit, like, for your own experience, how it worked for the creation of maybe each OST or some OSTs?
Sure. So I know, like, I wish I knew more about the drama. I need to catch up on my dramas, but I do understand all the Korean, but I'm also reading the subtitles. So it's like, I have to read the English and listen to the Korean at the same time. So that takes it's more challenging to watch sometimes, but I definitely understand about the connection between all the music with the different movies or dramas or films or shows or whatever. Because I'm always the same way when I'm watching a movie. It's like the music is so, it's so much a part of like what's happening on the screen. So, but the way that I got to that point, I guess, is I would start with Cheese in the Trap. It started out as a Korean cartoon, a webtoon. And I guess it was a very successful webtoon that had like a pretty big following. And then they decided to turn that into a real life drama. So yeah, they actually reached out to me and asked if they could, if I had any music that would suit them. And the way that that happened was, I guess it really was because I was, the type of music I was making at the time in the albums I had just released, and everything like that had my character or my style. And I guess, yeah, that it was something different at the time. Probably because I have a American or English language base. The Korean, you know, music media or critics would always describe it as, you know, a pop or Brit pop, mm-hmm. although I'm not British. sound. So yeah, I think that I was lucky that I could have something unique that they wanted to use. And but one thing to mention about the dramas I noticed is that everything is very quick, fast paced, as far as when they're trying to get things to air and get everything finally edited. Yeah. So they're always like looking for the right music to go with the right scene, episode. And I remember that particular one, it was like very rushed. It was like last minute and they wanted something quickly. And I only had a demo that was just like made at home in my computer, you know, on GarageBand. But they wanted to use that anyway. So it wasn't even mixed or, you know, there was no engineering involved. And they actually aired the demo version like on the show before mm-hmm. we actually got to make an official, you know, version. But they just used a clip of it. So, you know, they always use it at the end when the credits come, right at that moment where they want to leave the audience sort of hanging.
A cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. And then throughout the next week, they'll promote that clip of music and that, you know, the end's image. And then they'll open up the next episode the following week with the song. So during mm-hmm. that week, we were able to get in the studio and record it, mix it, and, you know, make it right, and then turn it in. But yeah, that was a song called Go. And it was a song that I had already done.
Yeah.
I think that the director heard a bunch of demos that I turned in and really liked that one and thought it worked for the scene. So the scene, I don't know if you're familiar with the show, but there's a scene where the main characters, they make the transition from like friendship to romance. And then right at that transition, yeah. They're standing in front of a door, like, I think it's her house.
Yeah, right. And like the lights.
The light comes out, yeah.
It's been a long time, but I remember.
And then the song comes out right at that point. So they wanted something for that scene. And yeah, I was lucky, really lucky that they wanted to use my song.
But how did they present the project to you? If I understood correctly, you sent several demos, right? But how did you choose the right one? Did they like try to direct you in one direction? What type of music they wanted? What kind of themes they wanted?
Okay, well, I guess later I'll explain more like about like Satellite or Chicago Typewriter and Encounter and stuff. Those were very deeper processes. I think we had more time, but for this one, it wasn't that deep. It was just very quick. They were just like,
give us a song.
Yeah, give us a song. And I was like, here you go. I was like, okay, what do I got? What do I got? And then I just send it right away. And it's just a lot of emailing and going back and forth. Of course, though, they always send you a long, description and summary and of what the story is and all that kind of the background of the story. Mm-hmm. And they give you all those details.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, for that particular one, it was like that. But then, so I've worked on not too many, but maybe around 10 or so. But
that's a lot.
It's not that much though, because like there are artists that like really do like are continuing to do a lot. But I do want to mention Chicago Typewriter and then
yeah.
Encounter. Which is so Chicago Tajagi is Typewriter, and then yes. the drama called 남자친구, which translates to boyfriend, but the English title is Encounter. And then there's one called 질투의 화신, which is Jealousy Incarnate, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So those three are definitely my favorite by far. And the reason why is because I worked with the music director of those dramas.
Okay.
She just... like really, you need to speak with her if you can one day. But she just really opened up like the world of how music connects with Korean dramas to me and showed me a glimpse inside of how that is. But when she reached out to me, it was a different story because she knew my music and she was very familiar with like what I do and what I sound like and what I'm capable of doing. So she had written songs with me in mind and knowing like what I could do, but I hadn't done yet. She saw like
your potential,
the potential. Yeah. Because I don't have much classical training. So I just sort of do what feels good. Or I do a lot of like kind of freestyle ways of recording and singing and writing. But she thought that I could do these things or do these stylistic things or with my intonation or whatever with the flow of the cadence of a delivery of the vocal. And so when we worked together, it was a much longer process. We were in the studio like all day long, and we really just would go at each almost each word, like each note, to get the sound that she had in mind. And she used a lot of references of things that, were in her mind. Like I know Radiohead was mentioned in, which is another big 90s influence for me. So maybe she knew that right away, just from without meeting me or from hearing me. And so she would introduce the songs that she, so she writes the music. So for her process is like she works really like side by side with like the whole crew of the production team of the drama,
mm-hmm.
Director. So she's watching, previewing the shows, ahead of time. And so she's like okay. really living with these characters, and she, you can tell she's just so incredibly passionate. And it's just so just completely just into it. So she'll maybe do one or two dramas a year. So like 6 months out of the year, she's just really living this drama as it's being made. And her job is to write music to go with it. And then, find artists to go with that music and then, sync it up to the dramas. But I think she taught me or showed me, yeah, that's how the musical directors really come up with all those sonic ideas and musical vibes for the dramas. It's like they really like have to get into it.
Mm. And what is her name?
Nam Hae-seung 감독. Yeah, if K-drama music is a thing. Then I feel like she's very high up there, yeah.
So I understand now that there are two types of dramas and two types of making OSTs. One is the rushed one,
Yes.
the rushed process when a drama is heard week by week.
Yeah.
And the other process is what more like it's all filmed at once and then you have time to create the music, right?
Sure. But the second type is also rushed. It's just a more of a controlled rush, I guess.
Yeah. You can take more time to do the thing correctly
Yeah.
and be sure about, yeah. Now I know a little bit more about how to create an OST for K-dramas. That's kind of interesting. And well, if you had to choose one OST, which one would you choose?
Probably choose Encounter.
Okay.
Yeah. And hold on, what's the name of that? I forget the name of that song actually.
The one that is Take Me On
Take Me Out.
from,
Thank you very
yeah.
much. Yeah. That's probably my favorite one.
Actually, at the time when Teasing the Trap aired, I didn't know that it was you, but I remember that I checked on the playlist on Spotify, and the only song that I really loved was yours. There are two versions, isn't it? The English version and the Korean version, right?
Yes, that's both me.
Yeah, I know. I as well with Chicago Typewriter with Satellite. This is one of my favorite song ever. I was very happy when I saw that it was you from Cheese in the Trap.
Thank you so much.
Because I watched Chicago Typewriter like quite later, from like maybe in 2020 what? 2020 maybe? And I really like the song Chicago Satellite is very impactful on the drama. It is the best song from the drama, I guess. And it's very impactful, so this is more like an iconic song from K-drama.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I totally, I mean, Namisen Kamdok, the director, that's just completely her vision. And she has that ability to make a drama like that much more impactful, I think, with her
Yeah.
music, you know.
And more like about K-dramas, but in general, not necessarily like OSTs. You said that you have to catch up on K-dramas because you are quite late on your watching. But do
Yes.
you have any favorite K-drama?
I don't watch that much of anything actually. Actually, I watch a lot of movies. I do.
Oh, okay.
But I'm always into the idea of things. My kids love anime, and I used to think that I loved anime too, because as a kid, I watched maybe a handful of anime, and I really do enjoy the visuals a lot, the art and everything like that. And I really enjoy the idea of a lot of dramas. Like, I love the trailers. I'll tell you the truth. I love the trailers, and I just love the idea of it, like the story and stuff. But then I never get around to watching them for some reason. I gotta get better at that. But a favorite one, I think there's one called Ungdapara 1994, Reply 1994.
Yeah, a famous one.
I like that one a lot for some reason. It's just like a happy kind of comforting type of vibe, and it's just I like the setting of it. I like that time period of Korea. I wasn't there, but we did visit there at that age, when I was younger, and it reminds me of that time. Not only that drama, or not that specific drama, but I guess one of my favorite things, common things in all dramas, are those sort of like time, line things, like the cultural references,
Okay.
like when they show like Seotaeji or HOT or certain music from a certain period, or like a certain location of Korea, of Seoul, or the food too, like those things, those things are, I think, the really the parts that excite when I watch. It's like when things that I know from Korea, from my experience there, come out.
But these days, like some quite good K-dramas were came out. Like I don't know if you like more like dystopian kind of drama, but one that is very great is Angma Pansa, Devil Judge.
Oh, yes. Actually, I've heard of that. Yeah.
This one is very good.
Yes.
And the OST, you should listen to it. It's very beautiful.
Mm.
It's more like on the instrumental side of things and more like string instrumental.
Okay.
This one is very good. It's on Netflix, just in case.
It's on Netflix. Okay.
But it's more like dystopian kind of point of view.
Yeah.
But it's great.
There's so many. Is it current right now? Like, is it from 2023?
No, it's from 2021. It's with Jin Young from GOT7 and Jisung.
Okay.
From Kill Me, Enemy. And Dr. John.
Ah, right. Dr. John. That's another OST that I was able to do.
And recently you've done the OST of Tracer, Tracer.
That's right. Yes, I did.
Yeah. The recent one.
Yeah.
So do you plan maybe on doing other OST in the future?
Absolutely. I would love to. And OST was something that I always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I think it's because after doing a couple albums on my own, I realized that the music I wanted to make was not very commercial sounding. It was not very hit or radio sounding. And it was just like, oh, the place where this music would fit in would be in TV or film, is what I realized. And then I just kept sort of thinking about that and kept, you know, hoping for that, I guess. And it, I guess the music brought it in somehow, but it just luckily happened. My wife talks about it a lot because she always says like things that she hopes would happen for my music, or like hopes what kind of music that she hopes that I would make. It always ends up sort of somehow coming out that way. And she's right. It's true. But I would love to do more OSTs. I would love to do like Korean movies as well. One day, hopefully. But yeah.
And maybe either any genre that you would like to work for, like thriller, romantic drama.
I think. I guess sad. For some reason.
Okay.
I'm sad but uplifting, but that have that sort of emotional quality.
Mm.
You know, that that's kind of where I feel like I fit in.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, making music for TV or film or dramas. In my personal music, though, is kind of opposite. My goal is kind of opposite, which is funny. Because I've made a lot of sad music, I feel like, in my time doing music, that I kind of have like a joke of a goal that I want to make like really happy music. But when it comes to dramas, though, I feel like there's that place where there's that sad emotion.
More impactful.
What is more impactful and just moving, I guess, because it's not just pure sadness. Because there's just some sort of, I guess the underlying emotion is sadness, but it sort of can make you feel warm at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Hopeful,
uplifting. And it's just that sweet spot in between.
Mm-hmm. I see.
If that makes sense, I'm not sure.
Oh, I understand. And I hope that I will be able to listen to your future OST soon.
Yes, I hope. For sure.